First, let's synopsize.
Are we recording?
Yeah. First, let's synopsize what we were talking about last week in the Rambam, just quickly, so we know where we are. The Rambam's talking about giving over the Torah, how Torah Shabbat was given over. And the Rambam says, it's a brisa in Erevin that says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was given a mitzvah, he taught it to the Jewish people four times. First, he taught it to Aaron.
Then
he taught it to Elazar and Yisamar. Then he taught it to the Skenim, to the elders. Finally, he taught it to the Jewish people as a whole. Then Moshe Rabbeinu left. So Moshe Rabbeinu had four times. After Moshe left, then Aaron taught everyone once. After Aaron, then Elazar and Yisamar taught everyone once. After that, the Skenim taught everyone once. Then after the Elazar and Yisamar taught it to everyone, the Skenim taught it to everyone. So it came out.
Am I in your attendance list?
Finally, so it comes out that everyone heard everything, all the Torah Shabbat Peh four times. The masses heard it four times. Once from Moshe. Turn your chair on. Once from Moshe. Once from Aaron. Once from Elazar and Yisamar. Once from the Shivim Skenim. Once from the 70 elders. Everyone heard it four times. Now, that's what we got to last time. And of course, there were a lot of interesting side points. Now we're going to go on. The Rambam is going to first show how we know. We're going to get to some juicy stuff. The really juiciest stuff is going to take a little while to get there. Yes, Doug?
Did Moshe hear it four times?
The pashtus of the Gemara is he heard it four times from Hashem. Also, but it's not. I wouldn't say it's mamash mukrach. You know, you'd have to be ma'ayin a little in the sugya. Yeah, Kor, you had a question? Now the Rambam is going to ask, where do we know this from? Where do we know this from? The Dar Hashem El Moshe, the Har Sinai Leimor. Rashi brings a famous Chazal. Rashi brings the beginning of Parshas Bahar. Very famous Chazal. Chazal asks, "Ma'in Shmita Etzal Har Sinai? Why is Shmita written next to Har Sinai? Well, called Mitzvahs Nemar Misinai. Ma Shmita Nemar Kalsev Atosev Dikto Kav Misinai." Just like Shemitah, all of the details were said in Sinai, so too all the other mitzvahs were said from Sinai. Now the Rambam goes on to give a practical example. He says, let me give you an example. The example the Rambam gives is Sukkah. We know it says in the Torah, very simple, clear, small statement. The sukkah's teshu shivas yamim. You should sit in the sukkah for 7 days. Kol ha'ezrach mishol teyeshu v'sukkahs. All the citizens, all the people of Israel should sit in sukkahs. So that's a Torah Shabbat. What is a Torah Shabbat Peh? So that the Rambam tells us the Torah Shabbat Peh is going to obviously include who has to do it. Because it's a mitzvah esesh man grana, it's only men. Only men are obligated and not women. How you make a sukkah? How high the sukkah is?
How low
the sukkah can be? How wide it has to be? All these halachas Moshe Rabbeinu said over. All the halachas deraisa Moshe Rabbeinu said over. What you make the schach out of? All these halachas Moshe Rabbeinu said over. No, wait a second. You'll see what it was everything that is. David's asking a good question. Someone asked it last week also. What compromised the original Torah Shabbat Peh and what was Ki'ilu added and worked in later? And that is a topic which is going to come up not once, come up a couple of times in the Rambam, and we're going to be patient and not jump the gun, and we're going to let the Rambam talk instead of letting me talk. But that's what you're asking with. It's a good question, and we'll see what Rambam himself talks about. Okay. Now, this is a very, this is the next piece I at least I think is interesting. Vayehi Zerahim says, Vayehi Barbaran Shavuos in the 40th year, in the 11th month, which is Shvat. Moshe Rabbeinu got everyone together. And he told them, whoever, you know, he knew he was about to die. He's gonna, but he died, Moshe Rabbeinu died, Zion Adar, right, about 37, 38 days later. Correct? So Moshe Rabbeinu knew his time's coming. He said, if anyone is not sure about one of the mitzvahs I said, or they forgot something, they should come and tell me about it. Now, this is the Ramban in his Hakdamah to Sefer Dvarim. The Ramban, Nachmanides, not Maimonides. There's a major question about Sefer Dvarim. Major question about Sefer Dvarim. Question is Sefer Dvarim is called by Chazal Mishneh Torah? Excellent.
I could have said that.
Mishneh Torah.
He didn't. So.
Mishneh Torah means yes. Mishneh Torah means. Mishneh Torah.
Review of Torah.
Review of Torah. What is the basic question? What's the basic question you have to ask? If Mishneh Torah is called review of Torah, what do you have to ask?
Is it part of Torah?
Ah. If it's just called reviewing Torah, then why are there so many new mitzvahs there? That's the question. That's the big question. Sefer Dvarim. So the Ramban has two ideas. The Ramban in his Hakdamah has two ideas to answer up the problems. He says, first of all, some of the mitzvahs are quotes mitzvahs mu'oros. There are explanations on previous mitzvahs. For example. Ramban, this is not the Ramban in the Hakdamah. The Ramban throughout the Sefer Torah says this is a mitzvah of the Eretz from this, this is from that. For example, Shema, we know saying Shema is a mitzvah. Saying Shema is a mitzvah. The Rambam says Shema is a bia, is an explanation of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Shema is an explanation of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Now, how that works, it's a good question, and it's definitely beyond the scope of this year. Sorry. I'm saying the Shir and Ramban and the Mir Yeshiva. I'll probably talk about it then in Parshas Veschon and if we're actually meeting them. Okay, that's an example. Mitzvah Nivul Eretz. There's another example. The Ramban says.
Yeah.
The Ramban says a different thing is different rule. The Ramban says is if a mitzvah was very very rare and uncommon. For example, Yibum. You know what Yibum is?
Yes. Yeah.
Yibum, levirate marriage is called in English. Yibum's uncommon mitzvah. Therefore, it's not listed in Sefer Dvarim because maybe it never happened in the whole Dvar Midbar.
Why is it uncommon? Wouldn't it have been very common for
the
Xerion?
Oh, why is it uncommon? Okay. Shchol, that's a good question. I'd answer with a different Ramban. I would answer with a different Ramban. But it's really a shchol, someone who dies without children, someone who dies young without children, is a that's not a nice thing. That's not. This is not. It happens. You know, we know it happens. But anyways, so I would assume that the Dvar Midbar, due to who they were and where they were, it's possible no one actually died that young. Possible? I'm not sure. There's a different Ramban about it. It's just so dumb. You can bother me over dinner about it. I'm happy to explain a little more to you.
All down in our 60s.
All right,
okay. I say the burden is on you. If you have a question you want to bother me over dinner, you have to remember. Okay. Now the Rambam over here is adding his take into this. The Ramban's proposal was that some mitzvahs were rare. Some mitzvahs of biurim are conceptually related to mitzvahs we already had. He says there are some mitzvahs. Is that
recorded? It's recorded?
Now it's recorded. Okay. The Rambam has a different approach. How do we explain the new mitzvahs in the Torah? How do we explain the new mitzvahs and the additions in Sefer Dvarim? The Rambam's approach is these are the mitzvahs which people weren't sure about. These are the mitzvahs people had questions about and were unclear. Perhaps we could say, David, you're listening, perhaps we could say that a mitzvah which is only in Sefer Dvarim is a mitzvah which was so unclear by so many people that it's only in Sefer Dvarim because now is when it became clear by everybody. Again?
Like what type of mitzvah?
Well, there's mitzvahs that you could start naming on. There's a lot of mitzvahs on Sefer Dvar. Katzipor, Gerushin, Yibu. Yibu is very complicated. I don't know if you ever remember Sefer Dvar. It's very complicated mitzvah. These mitzvahs, perhaps, the Rambam wants meaning to say, these mitzvahs were so unclear, that's why they're left out until Sefer Dvar, because this is the only time when they became clear by the masses in general. Yes, Ariel.
This is very unrelated, but maybe give me a quick answer. This question is bothering me about last week's parsha.
Mm.
Oh, I just want to get on the tape.
Yeah.
No, not even close. Yeah. When rabbis talk about in speeches mitzvahs that we know the promise is long life,
Postes.
Such as
keep it up.
How come they never mention the weighing of the scales when it's the language is so pashut miyapshat? It says
it's a stupid mitzvah.
If you're going to list, if you're a rabbi, right, and you want to inspire, I don't know. Even if they're not necessarily dependent on Eretz Yisrael, we're also saying very good, the Shiluach HaKan probably did not happen in the desert, because as the Rambam and Ramban point out in a different place, the Jewish people, when they were in the desert, they were the most desolate parts of the desert. They were the most desolate parts of the desert, in a place where there was mamish nothing. So he says that the Ramban does say that. I did not mention that, the Ramban does say that's very good. That's very good. Okay, let's go on.
Who said that, Jeff?
Eddie. Okay. Now, after this, we're going on in the Rambam. After this, the Rambam says, right before Moshe died, he made sure to write 13 Sufrei Torah. He gave one to each Shevet.
And one
he gave to Shevet Levi.
That's why Shevet Rabbi.
Mine too.
Great. If you're a Kohen, it's also your Shevet?
That's what I was talking about.
He's a Kohen. He borrows someone's talus every morning to say,
okay. Okay, after that, he wrote 13 Sefer Torah, and then Moshe Rabbeinu, on the 7th of Adar, as we know, Moshe Rabbeinu went up the mountain, and to quote the Rambam, you listening?
Yeah.
Jordan, you listening?
I'm always listening. Do you shave on between Zion, Adar, and...
Now, to quote the Rambam. On the 7th of Adar, Achikach Ora El Hahar Bechazir Yom Ashvi Wachavish Adar, Kafirisha Dikdikor Kabbalah, he went up the mountain half in the middle of the day, Vahaya Hamikra Hurusha Karo, and what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu, Misa Ba'ilenu, we call it that he died, Bishvil Shechasadu Pakadnu, also we lost him, Vichayim Wor Wachavar Amaro Sha'ara El Raha. And for him it was life to the great level that he went into. That's what Chazal say. Moshe went into a mess. Moshe did not die. He went up and he is serving on high.
What does he even mean?
What does that mean? This is I don't want to. Now the Rambam says himself, to properly understand this, it would take a very long time. The Ein Zeh Mekomam. And this is not the proper place to speak about it. So I'm just going to explain what the Rambam said, and we're not going to go farther off tangent. I'm reading the Rambam's Hakdama to Parash
Mishnah.
Okay. What is the Rambam says? This is very important. It's really a sugya in the end of the first parak above Basra. The main sugya is at the end of the first parak about Basra and whoever's in the Navi, in the Nach'il. Nach'il, tonight we're going to see a very small part of that sugya.
Yes.
Are you excited?
The Maharal explains.
Brother, I might be a bit late.
The Maharal explains the underlying concept of the whole sugya of Gemara about who died, who needed to die, who didn't need to die, is necessity of death. Normal people, almost everyone who lives, there's no one who does only good and doesn't do bad. Even people do a little bit bad, they try to do tshuva. There are very few people who are able to completely correct whatever they did wrong. The Gemara, which is speaking about these people who didn't die, or they died, the ityo shel nachash, literally the bite of the snake. The bite of the snake, or something like that. Right, Yaakov is excellent. It's a whole sugya of it. These are people for whom death was not a necessity in order to atone for what they had done wrong and been done mistaken in their lives.
Are you saying that death is punishment?
No, death.
I don't want to. I said the Rambam says himself the angel Mekomam, and I always said I only explained what the Rambam explained, and that is an excellent. It's a hard, deep question, and we'll talk about it as much time we have night seder, etc. But we have to go on.
I
want to
talk about it during night seder.
Okay. Okay. Let's go on now. Thank you. Now, let's go on. After Moshe Rabbeinu died, what happened? What happened to Torah? What happened to Torah? Kashem May says the Rambam, after Moshe Rabbeinu died, Acha Shehinkle Yeshua Masha Netzav Mina Perush, Hikim Nisbeinu Mina Yeshua Masha Netzav Mina Perush. Moshe Rabbeinu died after he died? After Moshe died, Yeshua and the people in his time thought about Torah. And this is a rule. The Torah was never static. There's no such thing. There's no time in history. You can see another statement around about it pretty soon. There's no time in history the Torah was static, that nothing was happening. Moshe died, Yeshua and the people in his generation immediately started working the Torah and continuing on what he said. Now the Rambam says, this is the first little view of the Machlokas issues. This is important. This is one of the key issues in the Rambam's Akdamah. So someone asked about it last week. So we're going to see now the first real view of it in the Rambam's eyes. So the Rambam says, whenever Moshe Rabbeinu explicitly received from Moshe, there's never an argument about. There's no argument about that. If there's something is a Kabbalah, if something is something received, a perush which Moshe Rabbeinu explicitly said, you cannot have argument about that. Not possible to have an argument. What was the argument about? But what they did, the Moshe Rabbeinu did not explain, they used Torah methodology, svara, and you give a midas, and the way to learn things out of Torah in order to derive new demon, in order to derive the new laws, things that Moshe Rabbeinu did not explicitly talk about. And in these demon, in these laws, which are dependent on svara, on human intelligence, on methodology, on these laws, it's possible to have machlokas. We'll see. This is the first look. The Rambam is going to come back. Look, the Rambam's like dangling this by you, right? I'm not doing the dangling now. This is the Rambam. The Rambam starts out saying, there is something called machlokas. Where does it apply? Okay, it doesn't apply to Kabbalah. It doesn't apply to Pirush and Moshe Ben explicitly said. It applies to Svaras. And it applies to things worked out of Yugimel, out of the Yugimel Ikrim, not Xerushalas, but other things. How to apply these things? Wait a second, and we'll see later. The Rambam is going to come back later on. When the Rambam is going to go first through Mavur, and after Mavur, he's going to go back and go through Torah, and that's what we're really going to deal with in more and more depth. Okay, take a little while. We'll get there. What?
That's
sweet. Okay.
Rebbe, you're doing Southern.
It says, "What happened when they had a machlokas?"
Why can't you do spin move?
What happened when there was a machlokas?
Guys, what happened? They would play it out.
What happened when there was a machlokas? They used the claw of Rov, after Rabban Lahatas, in order to resolve machlokas. Now this shows us one thing. The Rambam is very fast. This is a fascinating Rambam. Because there's a method to resolve machlokas. That implicitly shows us that it was assumed there would be machlokas. If the Torah has to tell you how to resolve machlokas, you decide by the majority, That shows you that the Torah understood that when you're learning halachas out, there's going to be machlokas. Because if not, the Torah doesn't have to give me a method to resolve machlokas. Okay, now let's go on. Now, the Rambam's now going into one of his major tangential points, which is Nevuah. And now it's going to take us a couple of sessions to get through with the Rambam. Is there some controversial stuff here? I don't think so, but maybe.
You said there was going to be controversial stuff.
Don't worry, there will be.
No, you said today there will be.
Now, the Rambam's talking about Nevuah. And the question is, what did Nevuah do?
What's your score?
The question is, what did Nevuah do? What does Nevuah do?
What
does it do? What was it used for? And more specifically, it's like this.
In theory,
this is the question, the first question that I'm starting with.
Wind.
This is the first question I want to know. Can you use Nevuah to explain Torah?
No.
Is the method of communicating called Nevuah, is that a way to explain Torah? Now we know Torah is Divrei Hashem, so Hashem says. So theoretically it would make sense to think that if you want to know, if Nevuah means speaking to Hashem, that's what Nevuah means. You communicate, direct communication with God, that's Nevuah.
Yeah,
what?
You might be in.
No. Nevuah is direct communication with God. It's not. Nevuah is direct communication with God, and Torah is what God wants to do. So one would theoretically think that the best way to figure things out is with Nevuah.
But
what
about Torah, which says that Torah is given
to be identified? Very good. Now, the truth is there are Rishonim Ruchalik and the Rambam on this, but this shiur is dedicated to the Rambam's approach, so we're going to just see what the Rambam says. And the Rambam has very strong rayas, very strong proof to what he's saying. The Rambam has very strong proof to what he's saying, and we're going to go at the present moment just with the Rambam. So the Rambam says, Nevuah is not a way to say a perush, to say explanation of Torah. It's not. Now this is unbelievable Rambam. Aber Masha also Yahshua Pinchas Be'inyin Ha'il V'Hasvara Hu Yisha also Yahshua Pinchas. That which Yahshua Pinchas did when they were learning is the exact same methodology that Levin and Ravashi did in Shas. Now we see in Shas clear methodology, and the methodology of Shas and Tosfos and Rishon and Makram, it's all works together. Ram says what Levin and Ravashi did, that's the exact same thing that Yahshua Pinchas did.
So he's actually, they were...
Wait a second. Let me just, what?
They stole off from Yeshua.
No, they didn't steal. Everything wasn't written down. The Gemara says, for example, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had, somebody tell me tomorrow, I don't know if I'm remembering the right number, 90, whatever it is, said that he had somebody had Talmidim, and the easy things that they took care of were the questions that Zabai and Rava spent pages in Gemara worrying about. By then it was so simple, they ended up writing it down. Now, this is, I'll tell you a story. I was learning, I made a bar mitzvah in the summer. Thank you. Tell me a bar mitzvah, Mavruk.
No, he's going to be here for Shabbos.
Yeah. Now.
He is?
Yes, he is.
Oh, man, I gotta
be here. Okay, now.
Who's here for Shabbos?
I mean, how many other kids do you
have? A number.
Is your wife in here?
Yes.
Yeah. Mr.
Shah, you're
not.
No.
No, it's 45.
Okay, now. I was learning this, the bar mitzvah, my son's birthday is really Chav Ches Tammuz. But he wanted to have Chav Ches Tammuz, but he wanted to have music in his bar mitzvah. Ooh. And you can't have music in 3 weeks. So he made the bar mitzvah after Tisha B'Av.
After
Tisha B'Av. I told him if he's going to do that, in order to make it a proper Siddur Mitzvah, it's not really a Siddur Mitzvah if it's not right, but you know, right the day of the day of the day after the Bar Mitzvah. You have to sign the Masechta. So he said, fine, no problem. I gave him a whole bunch. I said, you want to do Megillah?
Marcus?
No,
Megillah.
No. I said, Sukkah. He said, Sukkah. I said, Sukkah. You know, Sukkah is 55 plot. You can You can get to 55. You can get to one of the shorter ones. Okay, no. He wanted to do the sukkah. He decided, made the decision over a year ago, a year and a couple months ago. We're going to do sukkah. Okay. Now, we're learning sukkah. Has anyone learned sukkah here recently?
Yes. Last year.
I would have been able to help you. Now, we're learning sukkah, and he's an intelligent young man.
Like yourself.
We're learning Davav Zayin Megillah about the three, how the three and four walls, three walls, where do you put the third wall, Shlishis Tefach. Right. Now, I know there's some real pure briskers here in this issue, some real pure briskers. And I appreciate brisk, but I wouldn't consider myself a pure brisker. But I'm still going to tell you nonetheless, after that's said and done, there's no way to understand the sugya, at least for me, there's no way to understand the sugya on Davav and Day Zayinim and Aleph and Sukkah without the brisker of Shtickle Tire. If I don't have the brisker of there, the whole thing is so arbitrary, it makes no sense at all. This doesn't make sense. This one says that. The Shlishis are built up. You put it here, you put it there, you put it here. Like, what in the world are they arguing about? It doesn't make any sense. Wait a second. And now I'm telling you right now. Don't interrupt. You know what the thing is? I was very hit. I was very touched by this. By the Shtickel Brisker Rav. You know why? By this piece of the Brisker Rav. You know why? Because this, the halacha of Shlishis are built up. Where do we know it from?
We're in
a second. No, halacha Moshe Messina. So when you're learning the halacha of Shlishis Afil Tavach, that's halacha Moshe Messina. And I'm not just telling you, and again, I'm not a pure brisker at all. But this shtickel Torah, this piece from the brisker Rav, is pasha halacha. This is gufah shel Torah. This is the real pshat, the real understanding of this halacha Moshe Messina. Wait a second. And what Yeshua Pinchas did is what Ravina Rebbe Ashi did. And when you're understanding that piece of the brisker Rav, I can tell you right now, you did exactly what they did 3,000 years ago in Midbar Sinai.
What is going on? You said something about sukkah, then the brisker Rav.
Again, there's Talmudic methodology.
He interrupted.
There's Talmudic methodology. When we're learning something which is a Doraisa, Halach Moshe Messinai, that's something by nature that has not changed. And if the only when the only way you can understand it is with a certain concept, and without that concept, the machlokes, the different opinions in the Gemara are totally arbitrary. Wait a second, let's go on. I'm not sure you didn't understand yet.
No, I understand everything. I want to know what you were about to say before you interrupted you.
Oh, I don't remember. How am I supposed to remember?
Which time?
Oh, okay. No! Let's just finish this sentence.
No!
When you know you're doing something which is really gufo shel Torah, which is really gufo shel Torah. Got that point? That was the main point I wanted to make. I didn't remember what else I was trying to say.
I was so into it, I want to know what the point was.
I don't remember.
Because he paused it every 2 seconds.
There's a reason why it gets paused. Okay, now, the rabbi wants to know, if you want to know what a Navi could do, that's a very important question, but first we have to know what is Navua, who is a Navi, and what the different categories of Navua are.
Everyone's a Navi.
How does a person become, no, everyone's not a Navi. The first question the rabbi wants to know.
Is he the
one
that says that Navim are like a separate species?
No. We'll see. First the rabbi wants to know, and he just dangles this bias, he's going to explain it more later. Does a Navi have to perform a miracle in order to gain status as a Navi? Now, the rabbi holds you don't have to do it. But you have to know the Rebbeinu Sadigon held that a Navi, in order to become a Navi, has to perform a miracle.
Is he the father of Hagon?
What's Mishnah with the Habakkuk? Mm-hmm.
What?
Said,
the problem that Rebbeinu High is bothered by, that Rebbeinu Sadigon is bothered by, is when the Torah talks about Navi Sheker, about a false prophet. The Parsha of Navi Sheker is in Parsha's Re'eh. And the parsha of Navi Emes is in Shoftim. When the Torah is talking about Navi Sheker, it says, "Ki yakum bekibuch al Navi al cholim cholim if a prophet or a dreamer comes up to you, v'nosan elacha os amofes, and he gives you an os amofes, he gives you a sign or a miracle, and then he tells you, let's go worship avodah zarah, let's go worship idols. So the Rebbeinu Sadia inferred from this that the only reason why you don't listen to him is because he said go worship idols. But if he wouldn't have said go worship idols, then he would have had the correct methodology to prove that he's a nun. That's Rebbeinu Sadia's approach. As we're going to see, the Rambam disagrees with him, and we're going to have to let the Rambam himself says, I'm not going to talk about that yet. We're going to get back to that
later.
We can get back to that later. Now the Rambam says the first type of Navi. No, so wait a second. We have to go back one piece. Because here the Rambam has a key point which comes up in the Rambam many times. And I would want to, as it's like a piece here in the Rambam, I think it's important to say. The Rambam says, Osos and Mobsin, miracles and wonders, are not what we build emuna. It's not what Jewish belief is built on. Osos and Mofsim are not what emuna is built on. It says, a Navi, whenever a Navi, whether it was Moshe, whether it was Eliyahu, whether it was Elisha, whoever it was, Shmuel, any of the Navir, whenever they had to do a miracle, it was not to prove who they were. Rather, it was a product of the closeness they had with Hashem, and nothing to do with proving emuna. The Rambam's shita, the Rambam's opinion, that consistently in all of his writings, is that emuna is not built on mavsim, on miracles. That is the Rambam's shita. What?
Mount Carmel.
Har Carmel. The Rambam explicitly addresses it right here. It says it was done with Tzarech Shah, and it was not to prove Eliyahu as a Navi. I know you're going to ask Jerem, and you're going to give, if you come, if we have time, we'll talk about it at night before we start the Navi class. Yeah.
So, you believe that Emuna...
You love
talk. We're going to get to it.
Okay, wait.
Oh my gosh.
So that's Emuna for
the Get it on the floor.
Okay, excellent. I really want some more. This is Emuna Navi, more about Emuna Hashem, and I said, the Rambam holds that Mofsim, the miracles, are not what Emunah is based on. Whether we're talking about believing in Nevi'im, whether we're talking about believing in Hashem, whether we're talking about believing in Torah. We're going to see Be'ezer Hashem, how the Rambam understands Emunah, as we go on. Okay, let's go on. Who is the first type of Navi? The Rambam now talks about Navi of Avodah Zarah. The Torah has two parshiyos of Nevi'ah. One is a parsha of Navi of Avodah Zarah, a prophet of Avodah Zarah. The first type of prophet for Avodah Zarah is very simple and straightforward. A Navi of Avodah Zarah, if someone comes and says, Baal, Jupiter, Zeus, Mercury, whoever it is, came to me,
Dionysus.
You guys are well versed in mythology, maybe too well versed. Now, let's go on. He comes and says that some type of Avodah Zarah power came to me and said, you're supposed to do this, this, and this, and this. Doesn't make a difference. What do you do to the person? Put him to death. That is Class A Navi Avodah Zarah. A prophet of Avodah Zarah, Class A, is that he comes and says, we'll get there. No, it's all the same punishment. He says, and Avodah Zarah came to me, a power, a star, or whatever it may be, came to me and gave me the following commands. He says over this command in the name of some star, power, etc., etc., etc. That is a Navi Avodah Zarah Class 1. Class 2, Type 2 Navi Avodah Zarah.
Type B.
Type B says... Type B. Hashem came to me. God came to me and said, you should go do this type, worship this star, or this power of nature in less than such of a way.
Or a person.
Okay, we'll see. People. Well, that's too much of a side point, and we didn't even quite get to it last year in the Avodah Zarah classes.
Is that considered like the egg out? Oh,
yeah. The Rambam here has, we have another minute, so I want to get this in. The Rambam here has one of his greatest statements, at least in my opinion, in all this, in the entire Hakdama here. Let's say this person's telling you that we're going to worship. Hashem told me worship this power or this star, and he comes and performs an unbelievable miracle to prove it. He turns this bima
into a camel.
And he says, now you see, I turned this bima into a camel, and now you have to worship this power like I'm telling you. What do you do?
Don't do it.
The Rambam says, listen to the Rambam. Everyone listen to the Rambam now. The Ein Manu Lahabit. The Ein Manu Lahabit. We'll see how some of the Mura. The Ein Manu Lahabit. And we don't look at his claim to Mavua. And we don't care about whatever miracle he did to prove his nevuah. He gets killed by Chedek, and we don't care what he did. Why? This is what the pasuk told us. Hashem is testing you. Now the Rambam goes on. The old hasecha hamansa they do so. Yosur nera be'edus ayin shiloh sosa. Hasecha. Our intelligence, which denies and disproves his miracle, is more reliable than our eyes, which see his miracles. You heard that? Again. The odds of the Rambam. The odds. Hasecha amans that they do so. Yosin nana be'edis ayin shalala sosa. A person's intelligence is supposed to be stronger than his eye. If we want to know, people do, they want to know, how do I know something's true? Most people think the way I determine what's true is personal experience and feelings. I feel this, I feel that. I see this, I see that. The Rambam says, that is not true. The key way to determine what's true and not true is your mind. Hasecha hamansa they do so? Hasecha hamansa they do so? Your intelligence, which should disprove what he's doing, has to be more powerful than the eye that's seeing the great miracle he's doing. Shekvan is Bar B'Mothes, that's a Bar Yasecho, people who are intelligent know, She'en V'chabed V'rado Zerosi Ha'achad Hamam Tzikon Nimtzayim V'mis'achad V'mikro HaShemes. The only thing, Ke'ilu, that we should worship is God. There's nothing else in the world which we could give true cover, true honor to.